This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon. We're in a state of emergency.
Well, I hope not. I don't feel like it.
Well, according to Governor, but anyway.
Oh, well.
She's in another world.
Yes, she's in Salem. Well, thank you for listening today. If you have any questions about your yard, your garden, or comments, or anything like that, you may call 673-4464, ask your question, or make your comment, and we'd be glad to have a conversation. And with this kind of weather that we're having, I've enjoyed the 82 degrees, mm-hmm. 80 degrees. Today, 84 seems a little hot. And then you told me before the show that it's going into 94
tomorrow.
Just what I really love, you know? God.
Brings out those yellow jackets that I got stung on Saturday.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's yellow jacket day. Let's mm-hmm. go.
In a local grocery store,
inside the store?
Yep.
Great.
I won't mention the name of it. It's not their fault.
Well, they probably wanted some air conditioning.
I guess so. Reached in to grab a package of bologna, and I pulled out. Bing! And there he was, hanging there. Oh, that hurt.
Yeah, they do. Well.
Back to the show.
Well, yellow jackets are part of nature.
So, yes, that's true.
That's okay. Not in grocery stores, however. But, you know, there's a lot of things we can do in our yard while we wait for the rains to come. And hopefully they'll be here one of these days. You know, I hate it when the forecast says, yeah, slight chance of a trace of rain. Well, you know, you get a few clouds and there might be three or four drops that come out of it. I don't even know why they waste their breath talking about that. But
yeah, we got to break up the monotony of the sun.
Oh, yeah, now I get it. Well, as the growth of shrubs and lawns and trees start to slow down and they start to go into dormancy, which some of them have been doing for about a month now, if you've noticed some of the trees in our area, turning the yellow leaves and the brown leaves, and some of them are got red leaves and they're dropping. And somebody called me today on my cell phone while I was running around and doing something. And says, hey, my tree is turning color and the leaves are all dropping off. I says, yeah, welcome to false fall. I mean, it's been so stinking dry. And, you know, when that's the tree's survival mechanism is to shut down, get rid of the growth and just relax and wait for winter. And next spring we'll do it again. So that's basically what it is.
Well, my daughter's trees there, they got four or six of them the landlord planted there, and they're turning color.
Oh, yeah. I got lots of them in my place that are already – they've turned the color in the last few weeks, and now they're starting to drop off the limbs.
Mm.
Not all of them, but a few here mm-hmm. and there, especially the ones that are in full sun where they get the most heat all day long, you know.
Yeah.
The ones up in the canyon where it's real shady, they're starting to turn color a little bit, but they're not dropping yet, so – you know, there's time.
People like fall, I guess, the colorful. Wow.
Yeah. Go to New England and check it out. Well, it's time to look at your yard critically with an eye to pruning. That's one of the items that you ought to put on your landscape maintenance list for your home. And you can start with shrubs that have overgrown their placement. In other words, they're halfway up your side of your house or covering your fence or something like that. Those are the ones that have overgrown their placement, let's put it that way.
Uh-oh.
And even though it's still warm and sunny, you can begin to prune and shape up those shrubs. And it's not going to hurt them. It's not going to hurt them. Not only do you want to top them, but you thin out the larger stems that are crowding new growth as well. There won't be any new growth until next spring. Mm. But you take a look at a shrub that's been in there, you know, 5, 6, 10 years, whatever, and there's, maybe 40 stems coming up. You can take half of those stems out of the middle so that there's more air circulation, better growth, and then top it down to, you know, a reasonable height. And this drought kind of thing that we're in, it's not going to hurt them because most of them have already set buds for next year, and they're just kind of going into that dormant thing saying, hey, well, let's wait till next year.
Getting ready again.
Yeah, let's get ready again. Let's take a rest. It's almost winter, even though it's going to be 94 tomorrow, but, you know, what the heck. But so, like I say, top them out, thin them out, and, you know, get ready. So if you have fruit trees, you know, that's another thing.
Let's say, they're an odd situation.
Yeah, though. Yeah. But if you've gotten there's a lot of trees with fruit on them. I was looking before I left my place. I've still got an apple, two apple trees, that the fruit's just becoming real ripe. It's really coloring up. It's looking good.
Pears. How about the pears? They seem to be just coming.
Yeah.
Out.
Well, that was one of the trees I was looking at. They're not. They're not soft. The pears are still hard. But they're up to size, let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're hard, so I'm going to wait till they soften up a bit before we start to pick them. And with this kind of weather, it might be, you know, within another week or, you know, maybe 10 days, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But don't let the fruit just drop on the ground and go to waste, okay? Mm-hmm. Do that thing.
But, well, that happens at that pear orchard. I know you probably have seen it. It's right off the freeway, the first exit there in Sutherland.
Oh, yeah.
Every year it produces pears, but I don't know who owns it or what. Nobody takes care of it.
Yeah.
A big old pear orchard that's been there since I was a kid.
Really?
And the deer eat it, but that's...
Well, maybe that's what they put it in for deer food.
Used to be a fruit stand there when I was just a kid. But...
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah. But, you know, as you drive around, you can see a lot of small orchards that are in that same condition. And I was looking, my wife and I were driving, we had an opportunity to drive out in Garden Valley for some reason here in the last few days. And I was looking at all the vineyards. And, you know, there's that great big vineyard. You go up over the hill on Garden Valley Boulevard, and you drop down there, and there's that huge, huge vineyard.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how are they going to pick grapes? I mean, it's I don't know how many people they'd have to get, but they probably pick them by machine.
Mm-hmm. And, probably.
But the grapes are turning. I have some grapevines that I've taken some grapes off here. Oh, gosh. 2 weeks ago, and they were delicious. They were ready to go. They weren't quite as sweet as they could be, but now they are. And it's coming, and you got to get out there if you want any of that
do
stuff.
Do it.
You
got to
get out there and get her done, man.
Yeah.
So if you have fruit trees in your yard, go ahead and pick the fruit if it's close, and you can stick them on the counter. If they're not quite ripe, just stick them by a window for a couple of days, and they continue that ripening process, and they'll be, you know, good and sweet and edible before you even know it. So, but then when you get all the fruit off, take a look at that fruit tree. Is it too big? Did you have to use a 10-foot or a 12-foot step ladder to get up there and pick the fruit? Well, prune it. Prune it down. If it's a 12-foot tree or something like that, prune it down to about 8 feet. You know, get some of that top stuff off so you don't have to have a gigantic ladder and risk your life going up there to pick your fruit. And then when you've topped it all, you can stand back, take a look, and say, okay, now there's way too many branches all the way through that fruit tree. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and thin some of those branches. And the branches I'm talking about are the small kind of, you know, big around as a pencil type branches that they take energy from the tree, but they don't produce anything because they're not mature enough. So eliminate those and leave the good producing branches alone, and your crop next year will be benefited from that. And because that, and any time, even during the spring, when you see all these little inconsequential, that means small, branches coming out, get rid of them. They're not going to do anything but take energy from the root system.
Yeah.
And so that way the energy can go to the bearing branches, which usually, you know, they're 3/4 of an inch to an inch around, and you can tell, you can see. And especially when it starts to bloom in the spring, you can see where all the buds are. And, you know, just take a good look at it and go ahead and whack it back. It'll it'll produce more and better fruit for you in the long run. And if you do that every year, you're gonna have some good fruit production.
And this looks like a good year for fruit.
It is, and we've already picked on one apple tree. My son went and picked up a big pot full of green apples, and of course he was a bit premature, so I ate one just to see what they tasted like, and a little bit of tartness in it, but there was still sweetness in it, and so consequently, my wife whipped up some kind of an apple dessert,
and
they
nice.
Were, you know, cooked it in the oven. I don't know what the heck they were.
A lot of cinnamon and
cinnamon, sugar, and chocolate or something, and they taste good, but don't waste them. And if you have too many, you know, you've got neighbors, give them to the neighbors. Give them something, especially if they have kids. Those kids like apples. So
oh, you betcha.
Yeah, right. But when you prune, you're going to have a healthier tree, a tree that's not going to work as hard to set fruit for the following year, and all the fruit is going to be lower, so you can handle it better, and it's just healthier all the way around, and produces fruit that can be picked, like I say, without a 20-foot stepladder. Now, lawns are not growing as fast now, and you may want to get your mower a tune-up and sharpen the blades, and avoid the spring rush next year. You might have to do one more mowing this year. It depends. We're what? What's this? The
14th.
14th already.
So 13th or 14th.
Okay. Yeah. So the grass is slowing down too, unless you're watering the snot out of it and fertilizing, and it's growing like gangbusters. Well, you can start knocking back on the fertilizer a little bit and knocking back on the water and let the grass go into semi-dormancy as well. It's not going to turn yellow tomorrow in one day, but it will slow down because it doesn't have the water or the food to have vigorous growth, even though that the days are warm and sunny. But the days are not as long as they once were.
Right.
If you've noticed, it's getting dark quicker. And when I leave the house in the morning, it's pitch black, man. I go, whoa, what time is it? Did I get up too early?
And then by 8 o'clock, it's pretty dark.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, but, go ahead and get your mower out there, work that lawn over, and then tune up that mower and maybe take it to one of the there's several places that work.
Diamond Power comes to mind.
Diamond Power does, and they can do you a tune-up, change your oil, sharpen the blades, get everything ready for next spring. And that way it's sitting, and empty the gas tank. Don't let gas sit in it over the winter. It's bad. Drain the gas tank, sharpen the blades, get her tuned up, and then sit her in the corner and say, okay, we'll see you in March.
Yeah, take a rest.
We'll see you in March or April, for crying out loud. So, and that way you, like I say, you avoid the spring rush, and you don't have to wait. Like if you want to mow your lawn, say, oh my gosh, I got to get this thing serviced, and you go to your local lawnmower place to do it, and they say, well, we're about 2 weeks behind right now.
Maybe we'll get to you next month.
Yeah, we can get it to you next month. By that time, you can bale that grass. So
true. Well, I guess we better take our first break.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be back. Ask your questions if you want. 673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, we're back. Sunny, 84 degrees here in the valley at the moment.
Yeah, well, that's okay. 84 is livable.
Livable.
Yeah, that's good. And each week as I get prepared for the show, I want to impart wisdom to the listeners of the little things and the common sense things and you know, some of those things we overlook, and then, you know, we wait till next spring or we wait till whenever, and you go, wow, why isn't that working? I need to do this or I need to do that. And buying tools is another thing. This time of year, you're going to get a better price on tools and even mowers and things like that, hedgers, all that kind of stuff. You know, go shopping, go looking around, see what's available, because sales have been slow because of all the, you know, COVID things and this thing and that thing and, you know, whatever the government wants to throw at us. But go ahead and look and see. You'll find that there are some good sales around. And, you know, it's if you need some new hedgers, get them. If you need a new mower, get it. Because and even as it gets more wintry, like, you know, say, December, November, December, you know, a good Christmas present might be a brand new lawnmower for somebody in your family, because you're going to find them, they want to get rid of that inventory because they got the spring stuff coming in a couple of months, and they've got the old stuff there. They want to move that old stuff and clear out some space so that the new mowers or hedgers or whatever have a place, and they're brand new and sparkly, etc. It's a good time to go shopping for those kinds of things. It's you'll find, like I say, the prices are lower, and from say November till maybe February.
There you go. And then Christmas, not that far off.
Right, and then
I said the word, Kyle.
And in the spring, those prices seem to increase. You know, magically increase. So
yeah.
And once once we get a good rain, you can go ahead and fertilize your shrubs, your trees, your lawns, and all that. But they're not going to grow as fast. They're not going to put on any good growth because the soil temperature and the air temperature is cooler. It's wetter. It's rainier. They've already gone into dormancy, for crying out loud, in August and September. And but the rain will take that fertilizer down into the root zone so that when spring rolls around, the plants have a great start. Mm-hmm. Just don't over-fertilize. Just go light. Just give them a little shot,
you
snack.
You don't want to burn them out.
No. And any time you plant this fall, when it's cool and rainy, anything you plant will be rooted out by March or April, and it's going to do well for you. These are little things that you might consider if you're saying, well, I want some of these, or I want to build a hedge, or I want another another fruit tree or something like that. And if you plant them in this fall, say after a good rain, you're not going to have to do anything to them till, like I say, until maybe March or April or even May of next year. And that gives you a good reprieve. And in the meantime, they're rooting out. They're doing their thing. They're getting established. Mm-hmm. So that is all good. And like I say, and if you take care of these chores now, it's going to save you money next spring, and your yard will be healthy and ready for maximum growth, and that's what you want. And while the weather is still sunny, check your sprinkler system before you shut it down. You know, just turn it on, take a look. Are all the heads spraying correctly and covering what they were designed to do? And if not, readjust and replace with new heads. And if it's 84 tomorrow, hey, you wouldn't mind getting wet, you know, if you have to walk out there. But turn on that sprinkler and look and see that each head is turning the way it's supposed to be turning, covering the area it's supposed to be covering, and is, you know, you might have six heads on a zone or five heads on a zone, and one of them is just only going about halfway. The other ones are going 15 feet, and this one head is only going 5 feet or 6 feet, something like that. Well, obviously mark it and take it off. It's probably plugged, got some algae in it, maybe some kind of debris somewhere, or it might need a new spray nozzle. Now's the time to fix it. You don't want to have to fix it in you know, early spring when it's still wet, it's still cold. Just take this opportunity to do it now. So that's how that goes.
And you'll be ready to go.
Yeah, you'll be ready to go. And if you're ready to go, gee wee. So this year, this year, commercial fruit production has increased greatly all over the Pacific Northwest. I know that. Apples have increased in Washington to 134 million bushels.
Ow.
Yeah.
Nice.
And this is because we had a longer growing season with, you know, more sun. And, of course, some of those are under irrigation. But this has also been very beneficial here in Douglas County because the grape harvest has seen a big increase as well. You know, I go through by some of these vineyards, and, man, there are tons of grapes sitting out there. The one out there on 42 across from the Brockway store. There's acres and acres and acres of them. And I'm thinking, who in the world is going to pick all that stuff, manufacture it, and do what they have to do? I don't know how many people it takes. But
they probably got some AI machine doing it.
Yeah, right. There's robots out there. But... the grape harvest is going to be great. There was big increase this year as well, and all the other stuff too. And there is some benefit to a long, warm growing season, and that's you produce more, and that's good because hopefully some of the prices may come down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, if you are going to plant some fruit trees in your yard, an apple tree, for instance, try a Honeycrisp apple. They seem to be like the most popular. Mm-hmm. And for a great pollinizer in the same area, you would want to plant a Yellow Delicious apple. And you'll have more apples than you can eat in no time at all.
Wow.
And but there's a whole lot of varieties to choose from.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're new at gardening or fruit tree selection, get some advice from a neighbor that has fruit trees growing in their yard and have been, you know, very successful at it. And sample some fruit to find out, hey, do I like this or not? Is it good or, you know, I don't, it's too bitter or, you know, it's too this or too that. Now's the time to do that before you make your selection during the spring.
Yeah, once it's
year.
In the ground, it's too
late.
Yeah,
and finally, you know, it's been in the ground 3 years, and, wow, it's got some apples, and you pick one, and you take a bite out of it and go, wow, that's a waste. I hate that taste. But I was looking in my Western garden book. That's like the Bible of all plants and stuff like that. Big, thick, hard-covered book that has just every plant in the world. I've never counted all the plants that are in there, but there's thousands and thousands and thousands. But I counted today how many varieties of apples were listed, and I only found 58 varieties that would grow here in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, man.
58 varieties. I had no clue. You know, I knew there was a lot, but 58 varieties? And some of these, you know, they grow, they grow Washington, Oregon, you know.
Yeah.
And some of the varieties do well in desert arid regions as well. Like my father-in-law lived in an arid region there just north of Reno for all his life. And he had I think he had three apple trees that he had planted. And then those trees, he kept them pruned, and they were beautiful. And big trunks, maybe like 14, 16 inches in diameter.
Wow.
And big, strong branches. You'd have to have a pickup to hold all the apples in those three trees. I mean, and every year he did it, and he did it right. And they experience, maybe 10 inches of rain a year. That's all. And then in the winter, it'll snow. It can snow 3 feet on that valley floor. But that valley floor is at 4,200 foot elevation.
Wow.
And then to the west, is the Sierras just kind of go up to about 8,000 feet. So when the storms come in, they hit big time.
Oh, yeah. Nothing like what we get.
No. And they've had some dry years, but nothing like what we've experienced. So
they'd laugh at our snowmageddon.
Yeah, they would. They would. But, you know, apples are like probably the most widely adapted fruit that grows in almost every Western climate. And like I said earlier, there are some that grow in desert regions, and my father-in-law was proof in the pudding on there. But even some of them grow in Arizona, Utah, places like that. I didn't do any research on what varieties they were, but I'll come up with that one of those days. But however, they all need a little bit of cold winter temperature for best production.
Oh,
so
okay.
I don't know how that works in Arizona. maybe in higher elevation areas it would, because they have, there's a lot of mountains in Arizona, and they actually get snow in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Phoenix doesn't.
No.
Tucson doesn't. But
I think it's 100 degrees year-round.
No, not quite, but it almost. But, you know, all apples, they require pollination and will set plentiful and good fruit if pollinated by another variety. And if you have other apple trees in your neighborhood, the bees, if you don't have a pollinizer in your yard, the bees from your neighbors will come over and find your trees and pollinize them for you.
Well, thank you kindly.
Yeah, yeah, and there's no charge. But you don't want to get too close to the tree when they're there.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I found that one out in the store.
Yeah. But to be on the safe side, have a pollinizer if you have the space in your yard. That's good. They need sun and water for good production. Don't plant them in a shade. If you can, partial shade would probably work, but it slows down the apple production process. And if you have, like I say, a small yard, buy a tree that has pollinators grafted into that tree.
Oh, okay.
They take a branch from a pollinating tree and graft it into a non-pollinating tree, and then now you've got the best of both worlds right there.
Mm.
And there are several.
I didn't know you could do that.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. And it's fairly easy to do too. It's not that hard. But some of these pollinators that are grafted into the trees, you can have 3 to 5 varieties of apples grafted into one tree.
So you get 3 different varieties of apples?
Oh, yeah, 3 to maybe 5. You know, let's say you got 5 good-sized branches.
Right.
And you do a different pollinator on each branch,
mm-hmm.
and a different graft on each branch, and then next spring or next summer, your apples are red and green and striped and everything else. And your neighbor says, "Where'd you get that tree?"
That's,
well, I grafted it.
That's a little variety in the family.
There you go. Do we have a break?
We have a break.
We'll be back. I got more apple stuff.
And the phone number,
673-4464.
Come on now. We haven't gotten one call yet today.
Wake up.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Yeah, they got more food than I do. Anyway, we're back.
Yeah, we're back. If you have a question, 673-4464, I'm talking about fruit trees and how to grow them and do all those kinds of things. And I was looking in my Western Garden book, that huge book I was talking about earlier, to see how many varieties of apples were listed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I counted them, and I only found 58 varieties.
Only. Yeah.
Only, right here.
Some of them actually grow on the coast, too?
Oh, yeah. They won't produce as well on the coast.
Okay.
Because it's not warm enough.
It's cold.
It's windy.
Windy.
And, yeah, all that stuff. But Douglas County, the I-5 corridor, that's good to go.
Willamette Valley?
Yeah, yeah, Willamette Valley and east of here out into Glide. But you get much past Glide, and you got a lot of mountains, a lot mm-hmm. of shade, and it's colder. I don't think the cold affects them. I think it's the sunlight that is more effective for fruit trees.
So they probably wouldn't do too well in Portland. The sun never shines up there.
No, not downtown at least. But apples are the most widely adapted fruit that grows in like every Western climate. And there are some that grow in, like I said earlier, in the desert regions in Arizona.
That's surprising.
Dry areas. But they get watered. They get taken care of. They got a lot of sun. So if you get the right variety, it's going to work. And but, like it was mentioned in the Western Garden book, they need cold winter temps for the best production. That doesn't mean, I don't know, has it ever frozen in Phoenix, Arizona or Tucson? It may have
once or twice.
Yeah, so I don't know how good the apples would actually do down in there. But all of them require pollination and will set, you know, plentiful and good fruit if they're pollinized by another variety. And if you have other apples in your, like I said, neighborhood, the bees will find your trees if you don't have a pollinizer. And to be on the safe side, you know, get a pollinizer in your yard. They need sun and water for good production and all that. So if you have a small yard, buy a tree that has pollinators grafted into your tree. You can have 3 to 5 varieties grafted into one tree if you get the right tree. And they're out there. I've seen them. We used to sell them when I owned the nursery. So here's a short list of varieties that's going to do well in Douglas County. And I didn't go through all 58 varieties, but like the Arkansas black apple, it ripens in October and November.
Are they black?
No, they're not black.
Dark
they're,
red.
They're dark. They're dark colored, but they're not black. They're dark green.
Oh, okay.
But they're from Arkansas, and they've named the Arkansas black apple. So,
okay.
And if you, they do well. And if you have a late spring, we get a late harvest time. And, they are like a medium-sized, deep red, hard, crisp apple. They're very, very good. They were a popular apple. We sold a lot of them and during bare root season when we owned our nursery. And, of course, the famous Red Delicious apple, it's like everybody wants a Red Delicious, and it's like a favorite all over.
Yeah, it seems like they were the only ones around for a while.
It's a great eating apple. It's easy to grow, and it's a good producer. I mean, that's the bottom line of it all. Another one is the Fuji apple.
I like those. Those are good.
Yeah, yeah. It ripens like in late October. It's large. It's firm. And it's a very sweet apple with excellent flavor, and it's a good keeper. In other words, you can pick them and stick them in the pantry or the cupboard or in your apple drawer or in the icebox. I don't know. You can store them, and they keep for a while. So
they come from Japan, Fuji.
I think so. I didn't see where they originated, but I would assume that
with a name like that.
Yeah. Fuji, Fuji.
Yeah.
So, and Gala apple, and it's an early to like a mid-season ripener. You know, early would be end of July, August, somewhere in there, and maybe into September. They all ripen at the same day. I mean, on the same tree. You know, you've got, depends on the sunlight that's hitting them, and, you know, the shade from the leaves will slow the process down. But, you know, within a couple of week period, you'll pretty much get all
feast
the apples.
Feast or famine.
Yeah, you'll pretty much get all the apples off your tree. But like I say, the Gala, it's early to mid-season, and early means July, maybe August. And then mid-season is somewhere in there, too. They didn't have specific dates, but that's what I'm assuming. And it's a good apple. It's a kind of a medium size. It's very juicy and very sweet. And so that was a popular apple. And this list of apples that I'm sharing with you, these were the ones that we had in the nursery that were the best sellers.
Oh, you're making me hungry.
Well, you know, go out and buy an apple for crying out loud. Then there's the pollinizer, the Golden Delicious. And it ripens in mid-season to late. And that depends on the weather, of course. If it's a good, well, like what we're having now, where it's long, sunny days, day after day after day.
Then a hot day, then a cooler day.
Yeah, and it's like a clear yellow. It's very crisp, and it's excellent for eating and cooking, and it's also a great pollinizer for all the other varieties. So you get an apple that does the whole thing right there with the Golden Delicious. Then another favorite was the Granny Smith.
Oh, those bitter things.
I don't know who named that. But, hey, Granny
Somebody
Smith.
That didn't like their grandmother.
But it's like a late August to mid-September when it ripens. And it's a large, bright, yellowish green in color and very firm. And it was a favorite apple in Australia before it came to the United States. Yeah, it was like one of their number one apple trees over there. Then you have, here's some other ones. Gravenstein, Jana Gold, Lodi, Macintosh, Northern Spy, Spartan, and Winter Banana.
Winter what?
Winter Banana.
I thought that's what you said.
Yeah, they're a long yellow apple. No. I don't know how they got that name. I really don't.
But maybe they grow well in with bananas.
Huh? Well, nah, I don't think so. But those are all varieties that we sold at our nursery when we had it. And they do well here in Douglas County. I'm sure any apple tree would do well in Douglas County, but those seem to be the favorites that people were aware of. And what should I get for an apple tree? Well, let's get a XYZ. No, they don't grow. You don't see any others around here for XYZ. All of them, remember, they need sun. They need space to grow in. They don't crowd them up. If your yard is small, try a dwarf variety, something that's only going to get 8 feet maybe at maturity.
I think they're around for years.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah. And they just don't grow. They're dwarfs, and you keep them pruned, and they're fine.
It's like that pear orchard has been there 100 years at least.
Yeah.
still producing with no care.
Exactly. And we had a... Excuse me. We had an apple orchard on one of the ranches. I wrote that in the notes here. There was probably 20 different kinds of trees out there. Yeah. Some of them had little tiny apples that are like golf ball size. You couldn't eat them. You couldn't chew them. You couldn't squish them. I don't know what good they were. But
yellow jackets, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think yellow jackets. We had yellow jackets back in those days.
Oh.
Yeah, they came from...
China.
China, yeah, probably.
They look like Chinese. I didn't mean that.
No, don't do that now.
Hey, we got a phone call.
All right.
Uh-oh.
They hung up on us.
Now, let's try this one. Hey, you're on the air with Mike.
Hi, Mike. This is Amber, and I have a question about goji berries.
About who?
Goji berries, you're talking about apples and pollination.
Yeah.
And I have a goji berry, and I think it's a male, and it needs to be either crossbred. Do goji berries get pollinated?
Well, all fruit does, yes. Berries, okay. If you have bees or, do you have any honeybees that are flying around in the spring around your place?
Yep.
Well, they're doing the job. They're going to do the job. If there's a flower on it, they're going to go from flower to flower to flower. And who knows what they're going to cross-pollinate it with, though. Have you had good production from this or not?
No, not yet. I've had the plant for like 3 years now, and I always get blooms. I always get the blossoms.
When does it blossom?
They're blossoming right now, and then they turn into like these little... seedlings after the blossom. Like, it looks like it's going to fruit, but it never actually does.
Huh. But it doesn't blossom at all in the spring?
No, it blossoms in fall.
Oh, be darned.
Like the end of summer, yeah. Huh.
Well...
But I've never had it produce fruit.
Well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, that one. I'm sorry. That's new to me.
Okay, well, I really need your help.
Well, write it down and spell it correctly, and I'll look it up and find out. How's that?
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you. You're the best. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thank you. All right.
We'll be back.
We'll be back. Phone number
673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
That's what it's all about, entertainment.
Yep, 673-4464 if you have a question, so don't hesitate to call. And I've been talking about fruit trees and how to get your best production, et cetera, et cetera. But the production is good pruning. Regular pruning, have a regular pruning schedule so that your trees are not overburdened with a whole bunch of miscellaneous limbs that don't produce anything. Small limbs, like I said earlier, will not produce fruit. Keep the tree short, maybe 10 to 12 feet tall for best results. That way you don't have to have a super ladder to get there and get up there and prune it and top it. And you know, the few apples that, like I named earlier, are always sold in Douglas County, so they're not hard to get. And one apple tree I have at my place, and it's been in there, I'd say it's 90 years old, something like that, or maybe more. And parts of the trunk are missing. It's hollowed out, so it's like a three.
It's had a hard life.
Yeah, a three-sided trunk. But you ought to see the apples it gets on it every year.
Hey.
Yeah, and it's in shade probably 30% of the day because of the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And some guy planted that, you know, 100 years ago or 90 years ago, and there it is.
Maybe from one
from
one of the Indian tribes or whatever.
No, there was a guy by the name of McNabb. He was a doctor.
Oh, okay. I remember that name.
Yeah, that's what the McNabb Creek Road is where I live.
Okay.
And he homesteaded that country out in there. So and he was a doctor, and he rode his buckboard into town to, you know, work on patients.
Wow.
I read his history a couple years back, you know. So,
Dr. McNabb.
Yeah, but this tree has these great big green and yellow apples on it. They're as big as a softball, for crying out loud.
Oh.
It doesn't have a lot of them because, you know, it's old. It's weak. It's not real weak because it's produced
kind of like
every
us.
Year. Yeah, kind of like you, but, you know. I'm only 26.
So. Uh-huh, okay. Turn that around.
No, 76, okay. But, and like I said, parts of the trunk are missing. It's kind of hollow inside. And like I said, I only pruned it a few times, just, you know, out of sight, out of mind. It's way the heck up at the end of my field. But it has those beautiful yellowish-green apples, very, very tasty every year. And like I said, it's not in the sun all day because there's firs and pines and maple trees and all that provide a lot of shade in the afternoon. And, you know, I need to prune it and shape it this winter. Maybe it'll get better. The apples near to the house, of course, in the yard, they get pruned, they get fertilized, they get watered, and they produce buckets of apples. So that's all it takes is a little bit of, you know, let's take care of this tree. I don't know how long this big guy is going to last, but that's, who knows.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. Yeah. When I was young, we lived on a mountaintop. We had a ranch out in Butte Falls, which is east of Medford, probably 35 miles up there in the Cascades. And there was an old orchard. My dad bought 120 acres on the top of a mountain.
Oh, that's quite a bit. Actually.
Oh, it was. And there was nothing there but this old orchard. And like I say, 20 trees maybe. And all different varieties. Some were real small, some were big. They got no care. But they produce pounds of fruit each year like you couldn't believe. I mean, they were never sprayed. I mean, they were, I don't know if they were ever irrigated, but it was good ground where they were planted in. It was almost like topsoil, for crying out loud.
Oh, Lord.
Because it was a valley on top of the mountain. You climb for 2 miles uphill, and then you go over the hill, and there's this valley, and that's where we lived. And I think I was fourth, fifth, sixth grade in that time frame.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, with the deer, everything that fell on the ground, the deer really came in.
And I bet you ate a lot of venison.
Well, we did. And some days there'd be, you know, at least 5 or 6 deer laying in the pasture feeding on all the apples that dropped.
Ah, scoundrels.
Yeah. And they wouldn't leave. You could yell at them, throw a rock at them, and they'd just look at you and say, hey, get lost, kid.
30-odd 6, take care of that.
Well, it wasn't hunting season or anything like that.
Oh.
So I kind of let them go in that respect.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So they are tough trees. That's my bottom line here. They're tough, tough trees. You can neglect them, and they live in spite of you. They bear fruit in spite of what you do to them.
Yeah,
except over water. They hate overwatering. But we have some great, great orchards here in Douglas County. Drive around, check them out. There are, you know, Cruz, Brosai, and a few others that you'll see them as you drive by. You can start seeing the apples as you're driving by at 50 miles an hour. I mean, that's how full these trees are.
Oh, I bet they're delicious.
Right. And, you know, you can see how they're, these professional farmers prune them in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may not be aware of it, but take a look when it's pruning time, January, you know, December, January, February, and you'll see crews out there pruning them. And
sure.
They'll prune, you know, 6-8 feet off
they're
the top.
They're out there in the cold.
Yeah, it's rainy. It's not snowy, but it's rainy. It's cold. Yeah, I've done that. I understand. And, but they're spaced well. They're not too close together. And just look at what they do and how they do it and how much they take off.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that that's the correct thing to do because of the productivity of the trees in the late summer and the fall. You know, it's that simple.
It all pays off.
Right. And that gives you an idea of what you can plant in your yard if you have the room, and also take note of how they're pruned. And, you know, it's commercial orchards prune for health of the tree and for maximum production.
Nice.
Because they can't stay in business unless they maximize their production.
That's right.
That's all there is to it.
And that Easter lily of mine's doing well.
Well, good. I'm glad.
It's got a lot of little, at least 10 new sprouts coming up.
Did you name it?
No.
What's wrong with you?
I just named the China vine next to it.
Oh.
It's still healthy.
Well, of course. Well, you know, those, you did some cuttings and brought them in to me. I couldn't identify them.
The China vine?
Right. If I saw the whole plant, maybe I could identify it. I don't know. But who knows where it came from.
And yeah.
Are there others around of the same variety?
Not that I have seen.
Just in that one place?
Yeah, just right outside my door, practically.
Does it have any fruit on it?
No, it's just pure green. It keeps growing.
Huh.
No. I don't know.
Be a good ground cover.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thanks for listening. I hope you learned something today, and I'll have more for you next week.
All right. Stick around for the afternoon report with Douglas County's news team on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.